Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Where can we turn for guidance amid the confusion facing our church today? In Calming the Storm, Navigating the Crises Facing the Catholic Church and Society, Father Gerald Murray provides straight answers on what the church really teaches. Learn more at stpaulcenter.com.
Welcome to Letters from Home. I'm Joan Watson, and this is January 12th, Thursday of the first week of Ordinary Time. Ordinary Time has always been one of my favorite parts of the year, reminding myself that we are called to be saints even in the ordinariness of life. Now, Ordinary Time, the idea of this season, does not refer to the idea of ordinary, the way we refer to kind of boring, ordinary, normal, but it actually comes from the Latin phrase for the idea of numbered time, ordered time, because we mark the weeks of Ordinary Time by numbers. This is the first week of Ordinary Time. But because in this numbered time, there's this rhythm, there's this commonplace, there's this idea of that we're just going about our daily lives, I think it's important for us to remember that in this ordinary time, we are still called to be saints. We're not just called to holiness in Lent. We're not just called to holiness when it's fun and easy and lovely in Christmas time, but we're called to holiness. We're called to sanctity every single day. And so we enter back into ordinary time in this first week, and we begin to work our way through the letter to the Hebrews and through the Gospel of Mark. And I want to look specifically today on the first reading from Hebrews, which pairs so beautifully to our psalm, Psalm 95. So the letter to the Hebrews opens up today, actually, by quoting Psalm 95, our psalm. And we see the Holy Spirit says, "Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at the rebellion in the day of testing in the desert, where your ancestors tested and tried me and saw my works for 40 years." So this is actually a midrash, a Jewish way of interpreting the scriptures, a midrash on Psalm 95. We see the early church still preserving this way of teaching the scriptures the way the Jewish people would teach. And so this midrash is, it's a way of quoting the scriptures and then drawing out the meaning of that scripture for today. And so the author to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 95, referencing the wandering Israelites. So I think it's important, first of all, to say the Holy Spirit says today, right, that it's not just this ancient psalm for written for that time and that place, but that scripture is not dead, but living. What is in the scriptures is there for you and me. The psalms are not frozen in time, written just for the people of Israel at that time. The author of the letter to the Hebrews is saying, no, this psalm was written for us. And likewise, it was written for you and me. The Holy Spirit is still speaking. And so what's Psalm 95 refer to? But that rebellion of the wandering Israelites. The Hebrew version of the psalm refers to Meribah and Massah in Exodus 17, when the Israelites are grumbling against the drought, that they are not, they're in the desert, they're thirsty, they're grumbling that they want water. And we hear that in the psalm today. Oh, that today you would hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the desert. And so it was that moment where the Israelites are grumbling, as they so often do, right, in the desert. And Moses strikes the rock. And he strikes the rock and gives them water miraculously. And we read in Exodus 17, he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the fault finding of the sons of Israel and because they put the Lord to the test by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Right? They had begun to doubt the Lord. And so they test him. So the Hebrew version of the psalm refers to Meribah and Massah. And the author to Hebrews is actually then quoting the Septuagint, the Greek translation, which takes the meaning of Meribah and Massah to and translates them rebellion and testing. And so therefore in Hebrews we hear, harden not your hearts as at the rebellion in the day of testing in the desert. The author to Hebrews includes verse 11, of Psalm 95, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And so we're focusing on this rebellion, both at Meribah and Massa. We have the rebellion at Kadesh. We have multiple rebellions when the Israelites are beginning to doubt the Lord, and they will not enter my rest is then a focus on that rebellion in Numbers 14, when the Israelites refuse to go fight for the promised land, right? They send spies in Numbers 14. They send spies into the promised land. They see that the promised land is full of giants, and they come back and they're like, nope, we're not going. And they refuse to enter the promised land out of fear, except for Joshua and Caleb. And so therefore the Lord says, okay, you're not going to enter into my rest. You've lost your faith. You've lost your trust. And as a result, that generation does not enter the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb enter the promised land. So what is the author to this letter of the Hebrews, warning the early Christians about, and therefore also warning us about? He's pointing out that it's possible to lose the faith that we once had. This is a warning to early Christians that it is possible to lose your trust, to lose your faith in the Lord, even after he does amazing things, even after we witness miracles. It's easy sometimes, I think, to look at the Israelites and wonder how they could doubt God after they witnessed so many miracles. They witnessed those signs and wonders, the plagues, the column of fire. They crossed the Red Sea. They were fed by manna. They had victory in battle. And then here, whether it's at Meribah and Massa when they're grumbling against that they're thirsty and they want water, or whether it's Kadesh when they're grumbling again, or whether it's when they refuse to enter the promised land, we can so easily look to them and say, wow, they had no faith. They saw all these amazing things and yet they still doubted. But I think it's important to look at our lives and say, I do the same thing. The Lord has been so good to me. The Lord has shown me again and again that he is faithful. And I doubt that faith. I do the same thing. I doubt that he is going to be faithful. I lose my faith when I doubt that he is going to work wonders in my life, even though he's worked them before. And so the author to the letter to the Hebrews is warning the early Christians. You know, it's been a while since Jesus was here and you witnessed amazing things. You witnessed these miracles. You've heard the story of the resurrection. You maybe experienced Pentecost. You heard the story of Pentecost and the descent of the Spirit. You've witnessed maybe miracles. Now it's been a while, right? Depending on when we take the dating of this letter, I think it was written about 40 years after the time of Christ. And so they're saying, you know, it's been a while, and it's still possible to fall away. It's still possible, even though you've witnessed these things, even though you've heard the gospel, even though you've experienced God's love, it's still possible to doubt. It's still possible to lose your faith. And so the author is warning those early Christians. It's still possible to lose your faith in God. And it's still possible for us. And so we have to hear this in our own lives. We too want to enter God's rest. We are called to share in God's rest, that Sabbath rest. The Israelites were called to share in it in the promised land. We too are called to share in it, in the promised land of heaven. You know, that promised land was a foreshadowing, a type of what is to come, heaven. But it's not a given. And so when we doubt, the Lord may swear, like, they don't know my ways, and they shall not enter into my rest. And so the author says, take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. He's not talking to people who've never heard the gospel. He's not talking to pagans. He's talking to Christians. Be careful. Take care. And he says so beautifully, encourage yourselves daily while it is still today. While it is still today, oh, today that you would hear his voice. When is today? Today, right now. Encourage yourselves daily while it is still today, the present moment, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin. There's a beautiful commentary by a Dutch Catholic theologian of the 16th century, Estius, who says, the heart softened by the pleasure of sin, little by little grows hard toward the precepts of God. That's how we fall away. It's those little sins. It's those daily denials of God. Not perhaps in any big way, not in any big heresy or apostasy or schism. But little by little, we fall away. Why? Because we are falling in love with the world instead of falling in love with the Lord. And so the heart softened by the pleasures of sin, little by little, grows hard toward the precepts of God. That's how we fall away. That's how we begin to lose our faith, our trust in God. And so we're warned, encourage yourselves daily while it is still today. Today, the present moment. I think it's so important. So often we're tempted to live in the past, whether with regret or with longing, you know, looking backward to the good old days, the days of the past, whether we experience those days or not, right? Sometimes we look back to, oh, if only I lived in the Middle Ages when the world was Christendom, when the world was Catholic, or maybe if only I lived before the Second Vatican Council, right? If only I lived before all this scandal in the church. Sometimes we look back and think, if only that, or if only I was young again, if only I hadn't sinned in you know, if only I hadn't, like, we maybe look back with regret, like, if only. Well, God isn't in the past. He's in the present. And so there's this temptation to look backward, and there's this temptation to look forward. You know, if only I was married, if only I had kids, or maybe when I retire, I can be a saint, or maybe someday when I have more time, I can be holy, or I will dedicate myself to studying and to reading and to praying later. And so we look to the past, we look to the future, we forget that the Lord is only here in the present moment, today, while it is still today, the present moment, because this is where eternity touches time. This is where God is present. God is present in the present moment. Only two moments really matter in our life. There's only two moments that matter in our life, today and the moment of our death. And that's why we pray in the Hail Mary again and again and again, right? Be with me, right? Today and at the hour of my death. Those are the two moments that matter. So it's the present moment. That is what we have. That is where the grace is. That is where God is. And so don't worry about the future. The grace is not there right now. And don't regret the past. You know, if there is something from your past, go to confession, repent of it, and move on. He wants you to live in the present moment because that is where the grace is. And so I love that. Encourage yourselves daily while it is still today. Don't wait, but be a saint right now in the present moment, not tomorrow. Not in the past, but today. And so keep the faith. Pray for the gift of faith. Don't take the faith for granted, because we too are those Israelites who can be weakened by distance, right? So maybe something amazing happened in your life years ago, and now it's kind of faded into the past, and now you question, right? So our faith can be weakened by distance from these amazing events, or they can be weakened by the pleasures of sin, or they can be weakened by the allures of the world, or they can be weakened by a number of things, right? And so pray to keep the faith. Don't take it for granted. Just like the Israelites could lose the faith and the early Christians could lose the faith, we can lose the faith. It's also a good reminder to us not to idolize other Christians and not to put people on pedestals, because they too can lose the faith. Only God belongs on that pedestal, right? Only the saints who have gone before us, who have fought the good fight and kept the faith, belong there. So pray for faith. Don't take it for granted, and pray for others. You know, the author says, encourage yourselves daily while it is still today. Let us encourage others as well today. Encourage them in the faith. Support each other in prayer, in good works, in love. And let us together walk forward while it is still today, in the love of God, confident that he is taking care of us, that he is feeding us with manna, that he's giving us drink out of a rock. He is there. He is faithful. Don't doubt that, but keep the faith. Pray for me, and I will pray for you, and together we will be partners of Christ keeping the faith, and loving him. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes technical director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.